Alright, welcome to Moedon Ivri. Love Hebrew. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 18 and we're about to start with verse 20. If you will remember, Merab was about to be married to David and right at that time she was given to another guy, Adriel, the Meholathite, whatever that is, and as wife. So we don't know what happened with the circumstances, but David is not totally excluded yet. We see that in beginning at verse 20. All right, so that's where we're going to pick it up. And of course, Michael plays large in the story later on. But Te'ahav Michal bat Shaul et David. And Michal, daughter of Saul, loved David. Okay. Vayagidu leShaul, vayishar hadavar be'einav. And they told, and they told it to Saul, that Yagidu is from Nagad, a Hithiel. And notice that this is a lot of times when you have an impersonal construction. In Hebrew, they use a they or he or one. So you could just kind of translate that like, it was told to Saul. It was related to Saul. Okay. Vayishar hadavar be'inav. And the davar, the thing, vayishar, that's from the root yud, shin, resh, yashar. And this is a simple call, imperfect vav consecutive. The yud of the stem has disappeared. That's why it looks really strange. It's you do the same thing as yatav, you know, to be good. Yitav is the imperfect, and you have two yuds there. In this case, in like four or five places where this word is used, the yud is not present, so it's just a style of writing the word. And it means to be upright, but here, the thing was good in his eyes, or was pleasing in his eyes. Alright, so Saul liked it. Any questions on verse 20? Alright, good, we're just getting into it here. Vayomer Shaul et nenalo u tehilo lemokesh. Then, and Saul thought, here again, Amar, because I don't think he was talking, he was thinking. And Saul thought, et nena, what's the root?
Nathan.
Good, from Natan. It's a call imperfect with a third feminine singular suffix and that energic ending, that n ending. And so there's actually an assimilated nun where that dagesh is in the nun, in that last nun there. So Saul thought, I will give her to him, utehi, and she will become to him a mokesh, a trap, a snare. She will become a mokesh to him. Utehi bo yad pelishtim. And so the hand of the Philistines will be on him. I don't know what her connection is with the Philistines, or who knows what he was thinking. Maybe he's going to tell us a little later. But he was plotting already. Vayomer Shaul el David. Then Saul said to David, Bishtaim hit chatein bihayom. Shatayim is the word for two, right? And you have the bay here. And so you translate something like, with number two, with daughter number two, with the second one, tit chatein. Notice that we know the noun chatan, son-in-law. This is a hit pael. Hit pael means to become a son-in-law. So he said to David, with the second one, you will become, then with B, my son-in-law, or son-in-law for me, hayom, today, or now. I would translate this more generally, now, hayom.
Is there any possibility, since he already offered David his first daughter, that it could be, a second time? Like he's doing it again?
Oh yeah, yes. Because shatayim, right? The Hebrew, how you would translate that shatayim is a little uncertain. Notice that it is the feminine. So if it refers to the time or to the daughter, is questionable. I think most translations see that phrase as referring to the daughter. Okay, verse 22. Vayetzav Shaul et Avadav, Dabruel David Balat Lemor. Okay. Then Saul commanded. Notice that Yetzav is from Zava, a piel, Vav consecutive. Then Saul commanded Avadav, his servants. Notice that they want you to read that as a plural. Alright, that's why you have the Vav there, it doesn't have any pointing with it. They don't want you to read it Avdo, but Avdav. He said to his servants, Dabru, speak to David Balat. Lot means secrecy. It's a noun, secrecy. Don't need to put it on your vocab cards. Probably never see it again. With the preposition bait. So, speak to David secretly, Lemor, saying, or I would probably say privately, not secretly. Speak to him privately, saying, Hine chafetz bekahamelech. Look, the king chafetz is pleased with you, or delights in you, chafetz. The kol avadav ahevuka, and all his servants ahevuka love you. I appeal to his vanity, see? All his servants love you. Ve'ata hit chaten ba'melech. So now, here's an imperative, hit pael, become son-in-law to the king, ba'melech. Alright. Questions through 22. Okay, 23. Vayedabru avde Shaul be'ozne David. Then the servants of Saul spoke in the, well, it's in the ears of David. I think in English we would just leave out in the ears and say, spoke to David. You see that in Hebrew all the time. It's like, spoke to David. Et ha-devarim ha-ela. Spoke these things to David. Okay, now here's a great example of David's humility. Vayomer David ha nekala be'ene kem hit chatein ba'melech. Then David said, okay, now let's look at this ha nekala. It looks really confusing, and it is. The hey there, notice that you have that little makef there. It's kind of telling you, helping you to see that as a interrogative hey. Nekala comes from this root kaf lamed lamed, kalal, to be light. Okay? And this is actually a participle, nifal, feminine. Okay? Nekala. So, it's feminine because it's the abstract idea as the subject. So, is it light in your eyes? Is it a light thing in your eyes to hit chatein, to be son-in-law, ba'melech, to the king? So, is it a light thing in your eyes? Is it an unimportant thing in your eyes to be son-in-law to the king? Vanoki ish rash. And I am a man rash, poor, simple adjective. And I am a poor man, and nikla, of modest means, I would say. Kala, notice that this is another nifal participle, and masculine singular. And here, kala means a lot like kalal, they're kind of biforms. To be of no importance, to be kind of unimportant. Will.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
First of all, this hit chatein, is that an infinitive construct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an infinitive construct. Notice, yeah, that's a good question. Notice the infinitive construct and the imperative look the same. Same forms of the hit pile.
And the last word in verse 23 is that you said was a participle?
Yes.
How come it doesn't have the comates? Is that because of the pausal form?
Because it's masculine. Feminine.
Usually nifal participles don't.
Yeah, but third haze. Not third haze.
Not third haze.
Right. Okay. Not third haze. Man, you're asking a tough question about that. That's right, Tom, right? Third haze do not, in the participles, it's nikla. Nikla would be the feminine.
But you said this was kol lamed lamed, not kol lamed.
Not the last word. The last one
is
kol kaf lamed hay. Right. It's a bi form of kolal. Right. I sure got my way out of that one. No, it's true. It's actually right, Will. All right, good. Any other questions on 23? Good, 24. Vayagidu avdei Shaul lo lemor. Then the servants of Saul spoke to him, saying, Kadevarim ha'ela diber David. According to these things, David spoke. So notice it just kind of summarizes. In other words, the servants of Saul related to him the things that David had spoken. That's kind of how a very smooth, idiomatic English translation would have it.
When you said in the ear, and we said that was just going to take us to like speaking to him, would that be in a secretive way?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you see that a lot in Hebrew. It's kind of one of those expressions, speak in the ears of. You know, it's kind of obvious. Why would you speak to his nose or something?
Yeah, like Moses speaking in the hearing of all the people.
Yeah, in the hearing of all the people. Yeah. We just don't use that kind of expression. Good. Verse 25. Vayomer Shaul, then Saul said, Ko tomru la David. Thus you should say to David, Ein chafetz la melech be mohar. Okay, mohar means dowry or bride price. So there is no delight, chafetz, there is no delight to the king in a mohar, in a dowry. Okay, remember there is that custom that you paid the parents dowry. So what David is claiming is that he just didn't have the money to pay what a king would demand, see? So how can he do it? So Saul kind of, notice how background assumptions are operating here, and finally kind of, at this verse we don't know kind of what's going on, but when we get to this verse now it becomes kind of clear what's going on. David doesn't think he's worthy, he can't pay the price. So it's really, you know, in English we'd say the king doesn't want a dowry. There's no delight to the king in a dowry. Ki, but be mea arlot, but in 100, mea, 100 foreskins of Philistines. Okay? And notice that the textual note has ki'im, as some manuscripts have it, but rather in 100 foreskins. And notice this is very common. You just have the absolute form of the number, mea, 100, attached to the noun that it modifies. 100 foreskins of Philistines, lehinachem, so as to take vengeance. That's a nifal infinitive construct from nachan, so as to take vengeance on the enemies of the king. Veshaul chashav, and Saul thought, chashav, to hapil. Notice what form is hapil. It's from nafal, and it means to cause to fall. See, it's a hifil infinitive construct. Now, Saul thought to make David fall beyad Pelishtim, by the hand of the Philistines. So the Philistines, he was kind of obsessed with these Philistine guys. He's going to get them.
So I wonder if this takes us back to 21 then, because there was reference to Michael and the Philistines.
Yeah.
So he was plotting all along.
See, right. So it's kind of like you see, now what is this? How is Michael going to be a Mokesh? You see it kind of here, his thinking, he's going to demand this because he knows David's economic position. So this is what I'll do, 100 foreskins. You can just think about that for a second. I mean, he had to do some serious persuading to the Philistines to give him a foreskin.
I wonder if David and Michael's marital problems resulted from this dowry price here later on.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Verse 26, Vayagidu avadav le David et hadevarim ha'ela. Then his servants told David these things. Vayishar hadavar be'enei David. See, Saul knew David would take the bait. And the thing was pleasing in the eyes of David. Here's again that same form, vayishar, notice. The thing was pleasing. And it was pleasing in the eyes of David, lehitachen, to become son-in-law ba-melech, to the king. Okay. Notice with hitkanen, I'm translating with two, the preposition bait, but that those two seem to go together here every time they're used. This is the preposition for to become a son-in-law to someone. And remember, in especially colloquial Hebrew, the bait and the lamed and the mem are sometimes exchanged. And we saw that, was it in this class, where the lamed had a temporal a temporal use. Maybe it was in lectionary or lunch. I can't remember. Use that's not uncommon where we would translate from. So here we're just translating it kind of that makes the best English sense for what we kind of assume that the author's trying to say. Okay? Now here's the strange phrase. Now let me go back. The thing was pleasing in the eyes of David, or it was pleasing in the eyes of David to become son-in-law to the king. Velo ma'u hayamin. And the days were not filled. And no one kind of knows what that means. The time had not expired, is how it's sometimes translated. It seems to me that it's best taken as a clause, the first clause that is subordinate to what follows in 27. So, kind of before the time had expired, and maybe it's, I don't know, it's referring to some, he gave him a time limit or something, we really don't know. Vayakum, David rose from Kum, Vayelek who? And he and Anashav, his men, Yelek, went, Vayak Bapelishtim, and struck the Philistines. Vayak is our famous word, Nakat. Struck the Philistines. Okay? Matayim Ish, struck the Philistines, 200 men. Okay? Wow.
Doubled it.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Doubled it. Vayavi David, then David brought et arlotehem, brought their foreskins. Now, vayem mal'um. Notice that this is a piel from male to be full. So, in English, a lot of context, filled. And he filled them to the king. So, I don't know, he counted them out to the king. He put them in the hand of the king. Something like that. I don't know. I mean, what a 200, I don't know, brought a couple buckets. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, who knows. I know. That's what makes these narratives so interesting. Lehit chatein, in order to become son-in-law to the king. So notice Saul was foiled. So, vayiten lo Shaul et mikal b'to lesha. So Saul gave to him Michael, his daughter, as wife. Alright? Any questions? We can finish this chapter up real quick. Here's Vayar Shaul vayedaki Yawaim David. Then Saul saw from Ra'ah vayedu, and he realized, notice the object clause, ki Yawaim, that Yahweh was with David. Umikal bat Shaul ahevahu, and that Micah, the daughter of Saul, ahevat who loved him. Verse 29. By Yosef Shaul. Then Saul added Lero. This is a strange form, and I suggest we take the footnote 29b, which notice sees the root Yara, to be afraid of, and take it as an infinitive construct, Yare or Yero. Then Saul added to fear before David still, or yet. And we would probably translate the added as the adverb, see, and make the infinitive the main verb. Then Saul feared before David still more. Still more, because it mentioned earlier that he was afraid of him. Okay. Then Saul, and Saul, vayahi oyev, and Saul became an enemy et David, against David, kol hayim, all the days. In other words, for the rest of the time. Hayami. Kol hayami. For the rest of the time. Okay? Vayetsu sre pelishtim. The princes of the Philistines went out. Okay? Vayahi midday zeitam sakal David. And it came to pass, day simply means sufficiency. From the sufficiency of their going out. Zeit is a simple call, infinitive construct. So from the sufficiency of their going out, in other words, as often as they went out, Sakal David, David was successful, Mikol, more successful than all the servants of Saul. Vayikar Shemo Me'od. And his name, well here, rare, precious, was precious. I would say something like his fame soared. This is just from Yakar, to be rare, to be precious, but we would say his name soared. His fame rose, me'od, greatly.
rising in the polls.
Yeah, he's rising in the polls. Exactly. He started high and he kept going. So it's like New England Patriots and Tom Brady. Like the Boston Red Sox, their stars going up. Momentarily. Thanks, guys.